Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Meseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'iloi Nishmas, Feivel Yosef ben Chaim Leib and Yehuda Zev ben Feivel Yosef.
Meseches Sota, Daf Chof Gimel. The Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, that Kol HaNesuos LeKohuna Min Choseihen Nisrofois. So any lady, Kohenes Levia Yisraelis, if she's married to a Kohen and she brings a Mincha, so her Mincha is Nisrefes, which the Gemara explains to mean that you have a problem. You can offer up the Kmitza, which normally be a Mincha, you take a Kmitza and you offer it on the Machter and the fire, and that you could do here as well. But when it comes to the remainder, the Shirayim, there's a problem as to what to do with the Shirayim. We're not able to say that the Shirayim should be eaten because Mepnei Sheyesh Loi Chelak, well, because her husband has a Chelak in the Mincha, like we'll talk about, and consequently, since the husband is a Kohen, there's a din of Kol Minchas Kohen, Kol Tia Loi Seyachol, since he has a Chelak, there's a problem, you can't eat the Shirayim, it's Al Minchas Kohen. But you can't, on the other hand, say the issue Makt here, the entire Mincha Kolil, because of Mepnei Sheyesh Loi Chelak, well, because a lady who doesn't have a din Kohen, and she doesn't have a Chelak in it, so her Chelak stops it from being Oila Kol, completely caught Moktur on the Mizbeach, and his Chelak stops it from having the Shirayim be eaten. So what's the solution? So the Gemara brings two solutions. One solution is to have the Shirayim Bikore Bifnei Atzmon, independently over the Shirayim and the fire. And that's if you hold, the Gemara says, like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that holds that you could makriv l'shem eitzim. Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if I had a portion of a korban that already went l'ishim, it was mimena l'ishim, and the remainder of it is a din of bal taktiru, but alpha pk, and you could offer it as fuel on the fire, the remainder could go as fuel. So therefore, there's a solution to the dilemma, according to Rabbi Eliezer over here, you can't eat the remainder, you can't have the mincha be oila kolo on the mizbeach, but what you could do is offer the koimitz as a muktar, and then the remainder you'll offer l'shem eitzim as fuel on the fire. If you don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, and the solution of l'shem eitzim is not a solution, then the Gemara comes up with another solution based on a Rosh Hashimitz Shita elsewhere, that the Gemara says that is that you mefazer the Shirayim on the base of Desh and you scatter the remainder on the Mokum of the ashes. Now, here we have a Yosoidiyastik, a fundamental machloikah in Rashi and Tosis, when we say that the mincha of this lady, who's Nosu Lekoyhein, that a mincha is Nisrefes, and you know, you have a dilemma, you have solutions to present for the dilemma. What type of mincha are we talking about that she's offering? Rashi Shita is that we're talking both Achas Mincha Soita and Achas Mincha Sedov. It makes no difference whether she's offering a Mincha Soita, which happens to be the discussion here in Masechta Soita, or in general terms, she's offering a Nedonative Mincha, a mechas nedava. Either way, Rashi says, there's a problem. He has a chelak and she has a chelak. And Rashi goes on and explains. Neisha yesh loy chelak, but the husband of the kohen has a chelak. Why? So Rashi says, shehu rakriva mishaloy, because he has a din that he has to supply the funds for offering the korban, and therefore he has a din of the bringer of the korban, like we'll talk about. And consequently, therefore the korban is shayach to him. He's somewhat of a din of a bailim, and that's the problem. Why you can't eat the Shirayim. On the other hand, you can't be oil kolo and offering completely on the fire, Rashi says, Rashi says, because the mincha is coming for her kapara, for her atonement, she's the one who's getting miskaper, and therefore, since it's a mincha sazor, it's not oil kolo. That is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Now, Tosfos over here asks on Rashi, and Rashi explains that we're talking both about a mincha soita, we're talking about a regular donut, a mincha nedava. Tosfos says, the tema, that how could you say, which by the way Rashi actually does say, that even the Minchas Nedava, the husband has to supply the entirety of the Mincha, which gives him somewhat of a Shembailim, like we'll see, that's what Rashi says. The Tosfos Tain is that it's completely not true, and he brings Rayas that in fact the whole din that the husband is Mechuyev to supply the Mincha for or the Korbonis, or the Korbonis that the wife is Chayev in, that is only the Korbonis Choyva that the wife becomes Mechuyev in. Masha'in came to brings us a Sefri, that Korbonis Nedava, which Tamaz Rashi donates, the din is that the husband is not mechuyev to supply. Since Rashi's talking here about Minchas Nedava, it's actually incorrect to say, says Tosfos, says that the husband has to pay for the entire Mincha, and that gives him something of a din bailam. The Tosfos, in his defense of Rashi's Mahalach, in the Sugya, suggests a different reason why the husband is a partial din of a bailam. And the reason that Tosfos gives is because of the rule of Man Shekonsa Isha kona bala, what a lady acquires, a husband acquires, and therefore, like the Achrayim talk about over here, that the funds that she used to rekindle this carbon mincha, those funds were funds that weren't totally hers, because the husband had an ownership in them, and that's what gives the husband a partial ownership on the carbon mincha. Be'etzem, b'derech agav, there is a bit of a question over here in terms of understanding the exact application of Mashakonsa Ishakonsa Bible to the Sugya. And Be'emes says, you're familiar if you've learned the various Sugyas in Shas, there is no halacha certainly to say that anything that a woman acquires, her husband automatically owns it. The din of Mashakonsa Ishakonsa Bible is not some kind of absolute din, doimit to an Eved, the Mashakonsa Eved, kind of rabbi, and the rabbi owns whatever the Eved acquires. By a lady, the husband has a schos peiros and nothing more. He has a schos ishtamshus, he could use it, he could get the peiros out of it, but nothing more than that. And the lady has a kingdom of the kuf, which makes for a little bit of a confusion over here in the Achrayim to understand what Tosef meant to apply the rule of Mashakonsi Shekana Baila to the case at hand over here, where after all she took her funds, she used it to acquire Karban Mincha. What exactly is this chus peiros? The Karban Mincha is a guf usage of the funds that she has. The guf is being used, it's being offered, it's being eaten, it's whatever. L'chayr, there's no peiros there. So, Grada, the Karan Ayra starts the discussion by saying that it appears that we're talking that the husband had a schus peiros on the money that she used to buy it, and therefore that gives him some sort of an acquisition, some sort of a bailus in the mincha that was bought with funds which with the husband had a schus peiros. The word Yitzchok goes further and is mafapal on the Indian. He wants to try to work out to suggest that perhaps the achilas shirayim of a korban is considered to be the peiros of a korban. Even though it's not a poshut thing to say that, then it's not that clear that it's so. The Rav Yitzchok wants to mechadesh, and maybe it is like that in this sugya. And even the shirayim will be like a schos peiros, and maybe the husband is the one who has a schos achilas shirayim, even though she's a meskaper, but the husband is the one who gets a schos achilas shirayim. So it gives him something of a bailus, which is what creates the problem that it's something of a shem, of a minchas koyhein. So there's a discussion about applying what Tosef meant to fit in over here with the discussion of Mashakonsa Ishakonsa Bala. At any rate, there's a very big kasha here from the Keren Ayra. The Keren Ayra tainas on this svara that maybe the way Tosis works it out, the Rashi's derech, that the korban is owned to some extent by the husband, by the kohen, because of Mashakonsa Ishakonsa Bala. So, if that would be so, then certainly Kavachoyim, we certainly ought to say that any time an Evet kohen is going to bring korban mincha, which is to say he's an Evet Knaini of a kohen, and over there, certainly we ought to say it's a problem in terms of just offering the kohen and having the shirayim get eaten, and yet we don't find anywhere that the mincha of an Evet of a kohen, of Evet Knaini of a kohen, that there should be anything different that sets it apart from any regular mincha, which is that the kohen is often and the shirayim is nechal. And why, frek the keren ayra? Over there, we definitely have a very strong absolute din, mashakona evet kona rabbi. And then, by the way, the rabbi owns the guf, not like we said before, matarai, that here the rabbi l'choy only owns the peiros of the lady's assets. Over here, by the case of the knaini, the rabbi owns the guf. And from that vegan says the keren ayra, we never find anywhere such a thing, and doesn't seem to be correct at all, to suggest that the mincha of an evet of a kohen is going to be not able to have the shirayim get eaten because of the bailus of the claim. You don't find that, according to Tosis far, we ought to say, Mashakonda Evet Kon Rabbi. That's the kasha of the Keren Ayra. The Gvuras Yitzchok wants to say a chiddush take a innovative terrace to this kasha based upon the yesoid that the fundamental yesoid he brings was said by Reb Chaim Brisker and it was said by the Mikdash Dovid, Reb Dovid Rappaport, that they both shtelaveka yesoid, they bring down an important principle in understanding the notion of bailus on a korban. Now, when you speak of bailus on a korban, which is very common in kochim, we speak of the bailum on the korban, we're not talking about an actual monetary ownership mamish by kochim kochim. Certainly it's not momen bailum, it's momen kovoya, and you don't actually own a carbon in the actual sense of an ownership. Nonetheless, the Gemara frequently speaks of a bailus or a bailum on a carbon, and this is generally taken to mean the meskaper. That's the person who acquires a kapora, that he gets an atonement through the carbon. He has the bailus with regard to receiving a kapora. What the Reb Chaim Brisker and the Mikdash David say, and they bring various riyas to this thing, is that actually there's two independent koichos of bailum on a carbon, and one of them, which is the primary bailum, is the meskaper, the one who's going to get the atonement through the carbon, and the other one is the
bailus lahavoas hakorban. In other words, you have the din upon you. You're the one in charge with the authority and with the responsibility of bringing the korban. You're the mevi of the korban. Which these achoreinim, Reb Chaim Brisker and Reb Tovi Rappaport want to show that there's various scenarios that we find in different places wherein you'll have one person who have the shem of the mevi of the korban. He has the bailus for the havo, whereas there's somebody else altogether that's going to have a bailus with regard to the kapora. So therefore, they want to demonstrate with different rayas that these are two independent dinim of bailum, both of which are bailum, you know, and the ownership and its authority and the korban is your domain, even though it's not an actual technical monetary ownership. So one example of this that's given in the Mikdash David, talks about a big tumult in the sugyas in Mesech Tahirius by Parhel and Dovah Shetzibur, which is a case where the central Bezdin, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, made a certain type of severe mistake, and they didn't follow them, and the din is that you bring a Parhel and Dovah Shetzibur, a collective korban and the tzibur, and the different shittas in the Gemara about exactly how it's brought, and who it's brought for, and the Rambam paskins l'haloch and l'chashgogis, that you bring a par v'soy l'chol shevet v'shevet, and as you bring a par, and the Rambam's case being a parasoya for each and every shevet. And the Rambam explains that although these are individual korbanos that are brought by every shevet, but the tzibur is maybe the tzibur brings it ba'at ha-bezin. In other words, they bring it for the bezin, in the name of the bezin, that the bezin should get an atonement. Because the Mishnah explains over there that the tzibur be'etzim is potter from being a korban because their din is to follow the Sanhedrin. That's the din of a tzibur, they have to follow the Sanhedrin. The ones who are responsible and are at fault, the Sanhedrin themselves, that they made the mistake, and therefore they led Klal Yisrael collectively into making the toys, that if they're the ones who need the kapara. That's what Rambam is saying, that although there's a din to bring individual kabbalas for each shevet, nonetheless, the ones who are miskaper, they bring it for the bezin, that the bezin can get a kapara. Good. So the bezins are the ones, Sanhedrin, Godlo, they are the miskaprim, and to use the sprach that we're speaking of, they are the bailans on the kapara. Then that's vegans, like the Mikdash David, we find in Yerushalmi and Hirius, that the Yerushalmi and Hirius says that when you bring the smicha, and you do the smicha for these kabbalas, so who does the smicha? Who's the one who leans their hands on the head and does the smicha? Which smicha is usually done by bailam. And what does it say in the Yerushalmi and Hirius on the smicha over here? Zok the Mikdash David. So it says, the smicha is done by Gimel Mikol Shevet V'Shevet, V'Roish Bezen Agabeim. In other words, it's done jointly. There's three from each members of each shevet that they do the smicha, plus the Roish and Sanhedrin does it together. He does it also, Roish Bezen Agabeim. So Zalk the Mikdash David, what is the Yisoy that we're saying over here? If we see that the Bezen HaGadol, the Meskaprim, and the Rambam says clearly that although it's brought individually by each shevet, the individual korbanos, nonetheless, the real Meskaprim over here are the Bezen, and the Bezen, each and every shevet brings it for the Bezen HaGadol, they bring it for Sanhedrin, Ba'ar HaBezen. And that's when we're going to come to who does the smicha we see over here is done by three people from each shevet, plus the member of the Bezdin. Why fret there? Why don't you say that the Bezdin are the Bailam for the Kapora, so therefore they alone do the Smicha, because the Bailam does Smicha. Where does Din come from, that from Desveg, and you're going to have three from each shevet to the Smicha, even though the Kapora is going to the Bezdin? So it's not the Midistovet, you see over here, this Yisoid is an example of the Yisoid, that there's such a thing as a Bailam for the Havoas HaKorban, in other words, that the Bezdins of each and every shevet, they are the Bailam to bring the Korban, even though the Meskaper, the Atonement, is going to go to Bezdin HaKorban. Nonetheless, each shevet is a din havoah to bring that korban, and therefore, since they are bailum lahavoah, it's their authority and the dominion to bring it, so to speak, to be the mevigim of the korban, and meila, that gives you a din of smicha. And the Mikdash David says, good, so each bailus gives you a din smicha, the bailus from the havoah gives you a smicha, the bailus from the kapora gives you a din smicha, and that's why Taka says in Yerushalmi that three from each shevet are going to be saimich, plus on top of that, the avbenzin is also saimich, so you have both kinds of bailus that are contributing and getting this din of a smicha. Similarly, the Mikdash David brings down a Toysa Menachos, that's Mavur, that if a goy brings a carbon, so the din is that there's no din smicha on the carbon. What if there would have been a din smicha on the carbon? Who would have done the smicha? So if the goy sends a carbon, the halacha is, a goy sends a carbon from far away, so the carbon has to have nesachim, so the halacha is that the yid didn't fill in for the nesachim, and you have a yid that filled for the nesachim. So Toysa says that the yid who's going to fill in for the nesachim, he's the one that would have done the smicha on the korban goy if there would be a din smicha on the korban goy. That's what Taisa says. So, frek the Mikdash David, avad the meskaper is the goy. It's true that the gives bring the sacham of the korban, but still the meskaper is the goy. The goy is the one who's getting the main atonement for Taisa, is his korban. So, what was this for in the Havamina that Taisa is telling us to say that If there would have been a din smicha on a korban goy, then the yid who brings in a sochem would have done it. Why? What's the hedber? He's not the maskaper. So once again, you see these signs of the Mikdash David, that there's a special bailus, a bailus of Havoah, and that bailus of Havoah would have given a din smicha, just like we spoke before. And consequently, you see the aside, two separate dini bailus, so to speak, bailus of Havoah and bailus of Kapora. Now, based on this aside, the Mikdash David wants to suggest, I'm sorry, the Gurus Yitzchok, Yitzchok Sirotskin, wants to say over here, and actually an extra big chiddush, there's no question, it's a big chiddush, that he wants to extend the aside into the sugi over here, and he wants to make, based upon this aside, a distinction, a basic chiluk, but in a case where a lady is bringing a korban, and the husband has a connection to it because she used the cash that he had a shaychus to, that he had a chus peiros on, mashakona, ishakona, bailo. So he has a connection to it because she used his cash. Or a case where Evid Kanaini brings a korban, and the bailam, the odoin certainly had a shaychus to everything that the Evid owns. And yet, over there, we don't find that there's some kind of bailos of the odoin, and that korban mincho is going to mess it up and make it unable that the shrine get eaten. What's the difference in the case of the Isha in the case of the Eved? So the Voris Yitzhak wants to suggest like this, and he brings a raya to this, like we'll see. He says the aside is that by an Isha, since it's a din of Ishta Kegufoi, that the lady and the husband, so to speak, identify one with the other, so Melo, by the case of the lady, the Isha that brings a korban, and she's married to a guy who has a koyach in the momnitz and a koyach in the korban, will come to Isha Kanabala. So over there, his koyach that he has is not stam, some kind of rights that he has, but it actually makes him somewhat of a shem bailus, lagabi the havoas a korban. Even though the lady is a miskaper, it's brought for her, she's the miskaper, but afa became the husband that they actually called the mevi of the korban. Because since she's ishtek a gufoi, like we said, and therefore they're identified as a oneness to them, so if she's the bailum for the korban, he at least could get a shaychus to the bailus of havoah. Masha inking sota by Eved, so there's no identification that the kegof echo, so to speak, between the Eved and the rabbi, not at all. So Elamai, the rabbi, has lots and lots of monetary rights over the Eved stuff. That's all true, it's monetary rights. But Afal Pi Kain, even though the other one has monetary rights, it does not give him a lomdish Hashem bailos on the korban in any way. He's not a bailos on the kapora, certainly he's not a bailos even on the havoah. And therefore, whatever monetary abilities he had at the moment to purchase this mincha is not going to make him any kind of a so called bailos on the havoah as a korban. You see such a musig that by a lady we say the ishtik gufoi, and therefore we can identify, so to speak, the husband with the wife and give him something of a shem bailam on the korban. So the Rosh Yitzchok points out that it actually has a mocker in Masechta Negoim in Perik Yudalev in the parish of Mishnayos LaHarambam. Over there it's quite talking about a different case than the case over here. Over there it's talking about a korban choiva, that the lady is mechuyev a korban choiva, and the husband supplies her with the money. So the halacha is that if it's a fluctuating korban of a yoyer type, etc., so the din is that we go by the means or the asset that the husband has. If he is an Oshir, he has to supply his wife for the korban Oshir. That's what Yehuda says over there. Even if the fact that she may have very little money. By Eved, you don't say that. If the Odin supplies some cash for his Eved to bring a korban, then they go by the Eved status. He's an Oni, so you only have to bring a korban Oni even if the Odin supplied it. What's the difference between the cases, says the Rambam, the Perish Mishnayos? Why is it by the wife? We go by the husband's means. So the Rambam says in the Perish Mishnayos, because since Ishtik Agufoi, so therefore we identify her and him together, so to speak. Therefore, when he supplies the cash to provide her with the korban that she needs, we give him a din of a bailus in terms of bringing the korban. It's not just her, but he also is something of a bailus as a bringer of the korban. Mele, therefore, it goes by his financial status. And he's an oshir, you have to bring a korban oshir. That's the Perish Mishnayos, the Rambam says. Now, that's a special case, Gerard, over there, is talking that she's mechuyev, the korban, and therefore he must supply her with the financial means to purchase it. Here, we're not talking, we're talking about a mechaz nadova, like Tesis spoke out. But in this thing, the Buris Yitzchak wants to mechadish, that since the husband has this type of a mandatory rights, according to Tosafot and Rashi, of the Mashakona, Ishakona Balo, so therefore the husband has Epis, some kind of mandatory schusim on this korban. So here it's not just going to say that he has Epis, the money that we use, has some kind of financial rights that he had, but rather what we are going to say is that since he has a connection to it, so therefore he has a Shem Mevi as well, not like her, not just her, even though she's the Meskaper of the korban, and that Vendesvegan, he's called the Mevi, it's a Din Havod that's upon him. As upon her, and therefore he's something of a bailus lagavi havo, and that's why we're saying over here now a gemara that since the husband is a partial shem bailum, so therefore you can't just eat the shirayim because the husband is a kohen. It's totally different of the gevurah yitzchak than the case of the keren oyer where you have an eved knaini, because even though it's true that the eved knaini uses funds that the odin has a shaychus to, then that's vegan, they'll never get the odin a shem bailum lagavi the havo as a korban that you're never going to have. The husband is not intrinsically related and connected with the eved, and therefore over there we're not going to say that there's something everything staring, they shrayim from being nechal, because you don't give the odin and then buy them lagabi the kapora. That's the Mechaz Yitzchok's hezber. Now, everything that we said till now, that's all in the derech of Rashi in this sugya, and to defend Rashi's derech on the sugya, that Rashi learns that this sugya that says that the shrayim has a problem and it can't be eaten and it can't be burnt completely with the koyimitz, that that's all Rashi says it's referring both to Mechaz Saita as well as even any kind of Mechaz Adova. However, Taisvis, in the middle of the Taisvis, quotes the Yushalmi, and Taisvis uses that the Yushalmi to say not like Rashi, because the Yushalmi says that this sugya is talking specifically about a Mechaz Saita. A Mechaz Saita alone, in fact, by a Mechaz Nadova, is totally considered hers, and you go by her then, and you eat the Shirayim. Mashenken, a Mechaz Saita is unique, and that's who we say that the husband has a Shaychus to the Mincha, by the case of the Mechaz Saita. And in fact, there's a quote to the Yushalmi that says that when you makdish this Mincha Saita, you have to makdish it l'shmo, and you have to makdish it l'shmoi. In other words, that you makdish it for her, for his name and for his name, the wife's name and the husband's name, even though technically she's the one who's the Saita. But Nesvegin is a din bailos on both, and therefore you makdish it l'shem, both of them. The Yushalmi also says that's the husband, could you makdish it shalomi daitai, without her consent or getting any knowledge or anything, he just makdish it shalomi daitai, and the reason for that again is going to be because of the fact that the husband has a Shem Bailam. So there's a special Shem Bailos that a husband has with regard to a Mechaz Saita, which is over and above what you usually have by a Mechaz Nadava. Specific over here to this case, the husband has a Bailos and Mechaz Saita. It's interesting, the Vuras Yitzchok over here brings down two stodom about understanding the nature of the special extra Bailos that the husband has by a Mechaz Saita. What is it that makes it a special Bailos? Because the MS is that Taisus says, and we'll talk about it at the end of Taisus, that Taisus says, it's important to note this. I mean, Taisus at the end of Taisus asks the Kasha. The Kasha is that if it's really true that by a Mincha Saita he's something of a Bailam and she's something of a Bailam and they're both Bailams on it, so if that's the case, why don't you say a din of a carbon Mincha shall shutfim? And Taisus quotes the Sugya that the Gemara says in Zvachim that a Mincha owned by Shutfim is not even Korv at all. It's Exeris Akasa from the word Nefesh, which is a singular expression, a Yochid. So, is not offered. So if it's Taka, he's a Bailam and she's a Bailam, so it's like a Shutfis fektos, and therefore it shouldn't be offered at all. The Kav Mecha Saita. The Taisis answers the Eshloimer cave on the Iker Kapora, Mishum Didei, Nefesh Karinam Bey. In other words, the Taisis Machadish over here that the Iker Kapora is Mishum Didei, the main Kapora that goes to her, the Kapora wise, the main Kapora goes to her, she's the one who needs and gets the Kapora, and therefore it's called Nefesh and it fulfills the Loshin Yochad of Nefesh, and it's not a true case of Shutfis. It's a little bit awkward, as the word Yitzchak points out, what exactly are we saying over here? For the purpose of the sugya and Zvachim to make it work over here, and to, we're saying that it's not called a Mechaz Shutfim, and does not have any problem being Korav, and the reason for that is because the Ikka Kapora is going to the lady. So in what sense, therefore, are we Taka saying that it is called a Mincha of owned by both, as far as messing up the din of the Shirayim, it can't be eaten because of the Kohen as a Shaychus, and it can't be burnt with the regular din Haktorah because the lady of the Shaychus. Why? Why don't you say that she's the Iker Miskaper, like Tosfos says himself at the end, and therefore we should say the Iker Shirayim. So actually, the Vuras Yitzchok has on this two possible tzedakim. One side is along the lines of what he said before, that even though the lady is the sole Miskaper, afal pi kein, the husband does have a shem, or something of a shem, of Bailos Lagabi Havor. So he has a Bailos Lagabi Havor, it's a korban, and apparently that would be sufficient to mess you up in the sugi over here, and to say that therefore you can't eat the Shirayim because the husband is a partial shem Bailos Lagabi Havor. The Tosfos is still correct, the Lagabi the Kapor. We would say that she is the one who's getting the kapora. The second side of what Yitzchak suggests that since Tosfos Lashon is the Eshloimer, we quoted it a second ago, Kavon the Iker kapora Mishum Dido. So Nevesh Karina Bey. The Tosfos is saying that the Iker kapora is for her. So it seems Zok the Gvuras Yitzchak, and he brings a smach to this from the Lashon of the Kerenoyer, this is a similar thing, that apparently there is Epis a kapora that goes on the husband as well, but the main kapora goes for the lady, and therefore consequently the husband does have Epis Hashem Bailam, that's Negeo, Kavon to not eating the Shira. Even though in Tosfos' case, like I'll be making a mamish Hashem Michas al Shutfim and messing it up totally, that we're not going to say. So the Sefer Mincha Charev over here brings Achroinim that discuss, and he himself discusses it as well, that with this sugya, the Yisoidos that we see about the, so to speak, some kind of a shutfis that you have in a Mincha Soita between the lady and her husband, like we're talking about in the sugya and in Tosfos, with this we could perhaps say one or two terutzim, possible terutzim, to answer the so-called famous Velt Kasha. That is the Kasha that they bring down, that many big Achroinim, Matatzuch, to come up with all kinds of suggested answers to this, for the Kasha of the Velt. What is the Kasha of the the Welt, the world's question. What is this so-called famous question? So the question goes like this: in the Mishnah in Zvachim Adaf Mem Vav, the Mishnah speaks about Machsheves Pigol, which is a machshava of Pigol that you have that messes up a korban and makes it totally possible, gives it all the dinim of Pigol, and that's a machshava. Let's say b'shas you're doing one of certain avoidos, so you have a machshava that you'll be zerik the dam or you'll eat it, whatever the cases are, chutzas manoi, and that machshava that you'll eat it in the wrong time is going to mess it up and give it a din of Pigol. And it makes obviously the carbon puzzle, it gets a shem of Pigol and etc. So the Mishnah holds in Zvachim that who's the one who can be mafagel? That's the koyez mafagel b'machshav toy b'shas the avoida. While he's doing the avoida, he has the authority and the ability to mafagel the carbon, to think of it in terms of getting eaten the wrong time. The koyin alone is the one who's mafagel. However, the Gemara over there in Zvachim, the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Lazar of Yaisi, who holds Shamati Shabal of Mafaglan. So Rabbi Yaisi holds that his Messiah from his rabbis is that not just the Kohen has the Bidim of Fagel and Passel the Kurban with Pigel, with a Machshava, certain Machshavas Peshasti Avoida, but the Bailim also has the ability to Mafagel and mess up the Kurban. So on this, the Velt asked the Kasha, a number of big Achroinim discussed this Kasha from the world. From the Velt, the Kasha is that if that's the case, then how is any Soita even if Dekes? L'chayr, any Soita has the ability to mess up the Mayim from being Boidekar. Why? Because we had a Gemara earlier on where the Gemara said that if the carbon mincha isn't korev, and you don't have the proper aktorah and the offering of the carbon mincha, then that ma'akev the mayim from being boydeg. And l'chayr, any lady always has the ability to stop the mincha from being korev because she passed the mincha machshavtoi. She has a shem bailam on the mincha. And how do you know that a lady has a shem bailam? So grata, a different achroin and bring a raya that the lady has a shem bailam on the carbon mincha soida that she brings from a sugya mesech kedushin that says that when you are doing the tnufa on the carbon, like we had, the tnufa is done by the lady. Some of the lady with the kohen, we had the sugya of tnufa, and the Gemara says in Kedushin that that's because the bailam was the one who's main, and apparently the lady is the bailam, that's why she does the tnufa. So if the lady is the bailam, the chayyah coined that she the lozer of Yaisi, it's going to come out that she always has the ability to machashev, to think b'shas the avoid is being done, so she could think, have in mind, that it'll be eaten in the wrong day, it'll be eaten tomorrow. And a mela, with her ability of a bailam to be mafago, she'll pass all the carbon. Once the carbon's puzzled, then the mayim is not baidik. So the chayyah, every lady in the world always has the ability to stop the mind from being poetic, and that's really impossible. This is the Kasha of the Velt. It's very remarkable, and it'll be a little bit astounding, actually, that an entire Sefer was in Rabbi Yosef Engel, the great Eloy and Goyin, Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Rada Mishle Goyin, that Rabbi Yosef Engel brought a Sefer called Gvuroi Shmoinim. The name of the Sefer is still in print. You can still get the Sefer. The Sefer Gvuroi Shmoinim has 80 different truths into this one Kasha. Let's say he wrote an entire Sefer with all kinds of Papulim and Kodjim, with 80 Patsois, 80 Drachim to answer this one Kasha. That's the Kasha of the Velt. The Mincha Reiv over here, he rather brings down the Gevurah Shmoinim. He writes that he heard about it, but he wasn't able to get a hold of the Sefer. But he brings a number of Gedoilim that discuss this Kasha. He brings the different Achroinim. So he brings down from the Sefer Stei Chemed, and the Stei Chemed is a letter there written by Reb Chaim Berlin, the Goyin Reb Chaim Berlin, that he says one basic point about this Kasha Bechlal, and that is that to some extent it could be taloi in the famous Machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam, which Bechlal is a Shaila in Kodshim and in Pigol throughout, about when you have so-called Machsheves Pigol is Mafagel the carbon, does it really need Dibur? And the word Machsheves Lav Davka, which is Rashi Shita. Rashi holds that Machsheves Pigol is only B'dibur Mamish, otherwise it doesn't pass the carbon what you stand had in mind thoughts. But the Shita's a Rambam, it's not like that, and he holds that even Machsheva alone has the ability of thoughts alone can make the carbon into Pigol. So such a Chaim Berlin, the Chaim Berlin wanted to say, this Kasha Taka is a good Kasha according to the Rambam Shita, because the lady will just think it. She just, because thought goes through her mind, nobody knows, and they can't read her mind. And in Melech, she'll pass the carbon every time, and you won't even chap, and therefore the mind won't be boided. But if you hold like Rashi, Zogta, the Rashi holds that the pigol is only with speech, so then you'll point somebody to examine her very carefully, you'll warn her off very stark not to speak, and you'll examine, look, take a look if she's speaking, and that way you know that she wasn't a fag of the carbon, and maybe be able to have that the mind can be boided. So that's Chaim Berlin's basic point, that you could say a teretz, episode teretz, according to Rashi, that pigol needs dibber, and the kasha, primary kasha, will be sphere according to the Rambam, that he holds that pigol worth machshava alone, and then you have the kasha, let every lady be mafagel a mincha saita with a machshava alone, with a machsheves pigol. So on this, the mincha reiv over here brings down that he brings down this a teretz that's found in the sefer Chuvas Divrei Chaim, from the Divrei Chaim, that he brings down this teretz from the great Goyin, the author of the sefer Chuvas Koichov Meyankiv. And the Divrei Chaim is mafapal on this teretz. The teretz is based upon the sugya over here in the Gemara and in Toysin Soita of Chav Gimel. But the taina is that you see from the Gemara, from the Yushalmi, from the Toysis, that the lady is not a full-fledged bailam on the carbon mincha. So Saita, but rather she has some sort of a shutfis over here. And that's why, in fact, the Gemara has a whole problem over here. What do you do with the Shirayim? Because on the one hand, he's a Bailam. If he's a Kohen, it's a problem. And if she is also a Bailam. So you see, there's some sort of a shutfis. And the suggestion of the Koicha Miyankiv, he wanted to say that the lady does not have the ability of a fagel on the korban, and she won't make it a Shem Pigel because of the fact that she's only a partial Bailam, and she's not a so-called Bailam Gemurim on the korban. She's just a partial Bailam that she has to get with her husband. And therefore, the Koicha Miyankiv wanted to say that this is similar to the concept of Ein Mefaglum B'chatzi Matir. In other words, that I have, we won't get into the whole thing by Richos right now, but Kaponim, if you have a full-fledged Matir, the dam that you're spritzing on the Zbech, whatever it is exactly, and you're being Mefagel, only on the pigle mux, whichever pigle is only on half of the avodah, so that the din is that does not get a full-fledged din of pigle and does not make the korban of the pigle. Likewise, over here, says the Koicha Miyankiv, since it's mavur, now it's sugya, and the Yushalmi and the Toises, right, the Yushalmi says that you have to be makdash at lishmoy and makdash at lishmoy, because the bailam is some sort of a shutfis. So he says, therefore, she has no yicholus on any more than the chatzi mati, than on half of the avodah of korban, more than she doesn't have, because she's only a part by bailam. He's the husband is the other part bailam. Therefore, the lady does not have the ability to serve out Bailam and Fagel the Korban because she's not a full-fledged Bailam. That's the kasha of, that's the suggestion of the Mincharev B'Shem, the Koicha B'Yankiv, that they say, this Teretz, based on the Sugya and Soitach of Gimel, that the lady is a so-called Shutfis type Bailam rather than a full-fledged Bailam. However, the Divrei Chaim is Mefapel, he rather doesn't like this Teretz. He's masking that it does come out of the Sugya, it does emerge from the Sugya that there is some sort of a Shutfis over here, that the lady and the husband have some kind of a joint Shem Bailus with reference to the Korban Mincha Soita, but Afal Pi Kein, the Divrei Chaim argues that this is not really a regular Shutfis over here. And since she has a Shem Eskaper and she gets the Ikka Kapora from the entirety of the Korban, so at least in one aspect of the Korban she's a full-fledged Bailum, even though it's true she has a Bailum as well, but she's in one aspect of it a full-fledged Bailum, and Mela, Divrei Chaim wanted to suggest that really she should have the ability of Mefagel and her Shevis Pigel should be shy after the entirety of the Korban, since in some aspect of it, the Kapora aspect, she really is the full-fledged Bailum. So he holds that that Teretz leaves something to be desired, as not necessarily oiskalt in the teretz to say that she only has a shaykh of the part of the korban and therefore can't be a fagel. There is another teretz we're not going to go through. Obviously, you go through the sefer yourself. The Gvura Shmainim has it, but 80 trutzim. You know, there's a lot of trutzim. But I wanted to mention one last one, which is a little bit the geit to our Gemara, which I think is actually shver, and that is the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer and Choishem Mishpatzim and Peivov says that he would say a different teretz to this kasha. To let the lady be a fagel and mess up the whole korban, etc. So the Avnei Nezer suggests that although we do find that the lady is a Bailam on the carbon, that's only insofar as we would make the assumption that she is a Nakia. On the side that she was Noki from Chet, and she really wasn't Zinsa, so on that side she gets a Shem Bailam, because the truth of the matter is that if she was Torah from Chet, so actually she benefits from this carbon, and Bechlal, she benefits from the Seder of the Havor, and the Seder of the Shtias Mayim, because she'll end up being Moilid Bonim, and Moilid Bereva, she'll have easy births, and she'll have sons, males, etc., like they have elsewhere. So therefore, the carbon is brought to Tavoscha if Takashi's free of the chet, and Meila therefore shall have a Shem Baila. Masha Enkain says that the Nezer on the side that Takashi was Tmei and she Takasin and she really did do the Aveir, so on that side he would say that she does not have a Shem Baila. And therefore, because on that side she's actually the carbon is brought to her detriment, it's a detriment carbon to her, it's because she's going to end up dying for the Mayim. So Meila therefore, she would say that Nezer says that he would say she does not have a Shem Baila, Lagabe, the side that in fact she was Zinsa. Therefore, he wants to say the whole kasha is a rub. The whole kasha was that she could stop the Mayim from being boidik if she was Zinsa by having a Shevis Pigel. Now, with the answer to that, says the Nezer, it is no. Because if she was Zinsa, so then she doesn't have any Shem Bailos on the carbon altogether, because not being brought to Toivosa if she was Zinsa. And therefore, if she was Zinsa, that's the concern, that she could stop the word from being Mafagel, the answer by being Mafagel, and the answer is actually she can't, because on that side that she was Zinsa, she doesn't have any Shem Bailos at all. I just want to point out that this Avni Nezer is really Tzorchi and Kipshuta in a simple sense from the very sugis that speak about the lady's bailus, it's not mashma anywhere that she's only a kind of a suffix bailam. I mean, the Gemara we quoted before from Kedushin that says that the lady does the tnufa. Why? Because the bailam does tnufa. I mean, what are you going to say? She's really only a suffix or she's the bailam? And well, maybe she was in, so then the husband is the bailam. So, okay, so if that's the case, why is it given? Why is the assumption that the lady's the one who does the tnufa? Likewise, in our Gemara, it really looks from the Sugya, from the Tosis, the Yushalmi, straight through, the Pashtus is that the lady definitely has a Shem Bailam Lagabi Kapora. And the only thing is, the husband has a different kind of right, which is identified by Tosis, the Yerushalmi, etc. The husband has a right too. But it's not the pshat that there's not going to suffer on the lady's Shem Bailus, since maybe she's not the Meskaper. That doesn't look that way at all. So Kepshutai, it really appears, Pashtus, not like the Avnei Nezer, and that's a given that she does have Epes Hashem Bailum on this korban. The Mishnah fears always at the end of our Mishnah, there's a number of other distinctions between a man and a woman, and one of the distinctions the Mishnah mentions is that Ho'ish Madir es Benozir, Ve'ena Isha Madir es Benob. So that only a man can madir as benoy benozir, and a lady cannot. This is halacha mishmasina, as discussed in Masechta Nozir, that a man has the ability to impose a din nazirus on his kid, which Rashi explains right away, that that refers to his madir as benoy koton benozir, that the kid is at the boy, the son is a koton, his madir benoy koton benozir, Rashi says, v'chal nazirus olav afilu kashayagdil. That's what Rashi says, in other words, that the nazirus will continue on the son even after gadlus, which is actually a big chiddush. In other words, that her father has the authority to impose upon the son a din of Naziris by being noyed to the son ben Naziris, a special kliach, halachah moshe Sinai, and apparently that doesn't even expire. Chutz that the son leaves the father's domain altogether, begad lusay when he gets bar mitzvah, but the din Naziris doesn't expire. Chal Naziris afiluk sheyagdo. The Tais Yontif has a bit of an arichos on this right over here in the Mishnah. He quotes the Rashi and he quotes the Bar Tanura that says the same thing. Naziris has chal afiluk sheyagdo. The Tais Yontif makes a couple of basic points. First of all, he says that lechoyer this din is very surprising and not mistaken. So the Chayyur, he says the whole thing that the father came madir as benoy benozir is bechlal chiddush gadol, and really it's halacha mishmas Sinai, and without that we would never have said it. He says so. Nay, meilul if the Sinai says it, but a kaponim it will extend as long as the father has some kind of dominion over the son. The moment that gadlus hits, now the father lost his dominion over the son. So the Chayyur had no reason at that point why it should continue. The Chayyur, his authority and his ability to make the son a nozir should totally expire by that point. So that's the first question. How does Rashi and Grata the Tanura say that the Naziris continues even Sheyagdil at a point where the father's authority is totally gone? Secondly, the Tosis Yonta points out that Tosis and Nazir says Mamash Beferish forget from this. The Tosis says Mamash black and white that once the kid becomes a godl, but Shana Vesimonim, the Simonic godless, so the halacha is that the Naziris totally expires. Because his authority expires, and therefore, at that point, the kid is ois nozir, which is kinege Rashi and the Bar Tanura say over here. And Tosis Yontif is sufficiently disturbed by Rashi and the Bar Tanura that he actually suggests that maybe when it says chal nozir afilu sheyagdil doesn't mean that the kid is really a godel. It really means after bar mitzvah age, but at a point when they don't yet have any simonim. Specifically, the Tosis Yontif suggests that we could be talking about that the kid reached the madrega of muflas samach leish when his nedarim are a neder, so he's like a godel, in other words, lagabi nedarim at that point. That's the age within 1 year of bar mitzvah, 1 year of bas mitzvah. At that point, the kid has a din of godel lagabi nedarim. So that's what Rashi means, that the chafiluk sheyagdil, and the kid has it with a shaychus to godel as regard the nedarim. Once the kid reaches shonav esaman and mamish, the Tosis Yontif suggests that that's mamish impossible, and Rashi and the Bar Tanura could be baskim, the Tosis in nozir, that the Naziris will totally expire. So states us this is an extremely, extremely forced reading in Rashi. And the Mincharev over here says that no, that we ought to learn Kipshuto that it's a machoik of Rishayim. That Rashi over here, together with the Rav, they hold that the father's ability to make a lochmash Sinai, to make a binoider, his kid benozir, that will, the kid will be a nozir, and it won't be ponka, even begadlusai. Tosis says not like that in Masechta Nozir, and Tosis holds that the father's authority does not extend past the godless of a mitzvah stage of the kid. The Mechareva wants to say that you could suggest that this is totally in a big machloikas in the lumdus of the Din Naziris, which we actually spoke about in my own shiurim on the Shas Illuminated. You could listen to it in Yevamah Staf Hey. He said all the raid on this. And Bekitzer, the he brings in the Tshuvas Avdim Iluim that brings in a big machloikis in the Gedoilim in terms of how to understand the lumness of the Isurei Nozir. And basically, fundamentally, the Avdim Iluim brings down over there the Shitas Maharit, that the Maharit holds that the way that the Isurei Nozirus work is when a person is Noida Ben Nozir, it's not the Pshat that he accepts upon himself this Isur and that Isur, and he accepts not to cut the hair, and he accepts not to drink the wine. That's not the Hezber. Rather, the Hezber is that you accept upon yourself the Shem Kedusha, the Kedusha's Nozirus, and once you accept the Kedusha Naziris in yourself, the other Isurim Achal, the Isurim Achal B'Memela, the same way if a person will be born a Kohen, he gets certain Isurim Achal, the same way likewise, he can be Tamil Mesim, etc. Likewise, that person becomes a Kedusha with a Kedusha's Naziris, definitely you accept upon yourself the label of Kedusha and the Isurim Achal by themselves. That's the Marit. The Anibulum over there brings all the Gedoilim that hold, not like that, that they hold that the person is accepting upon themselves directly the Isurim Naziris themselves. You're accepting the Isurim upon yourself. that maybe that machloikis could be the underlying idea that underlies the two tzadim over here, the machloikis Rashi in his shita and Tais in his shita. That's Heistazoi. So Tais is held zok there, like the Gedolim brought by the Al Miluim, that the person accepts the Isurim Naziris upon themselves. When you accept Naziris, you're accepting the Isurim. So when the father is Noidir as Benoid Benozi, which Halacham is Jasinai, so the din is the father could accept the Isurim Naziris for the kid. Okay, but that's only insofar as the father has authority over the kid. When he reaches the point, the father has no authority, so he has no way to generate those Isurim Naziris, clapping the kid, when he reaches the point when his father's authority is gone. So that's why Tais is held very well, that once he reached Kishayagdil, once he reached the age of a mitzvah, so at that point, the father's authority expires, and with that, his ability to lay down the Isurim Naziris for the kid will expire as well. Masha Inkin, you could say, Zohar, that Rashi and the Bar Tanura, they held like the Ma'arit. According to the Ma'arit, nobody ever accepts Isurim Naziris upon themselves, nor is the father generating Isurim Naziris for his kid either, because nobody ever does that. That comes from the Shemayim. What you do is that you generate the label, the Shem of the Kedushas Nazir upon yourself, and what we're going to say, according to that, is that the father has the ability to transform his kid, to make a transformative process in which the kid, the son, is chal upon himself a Kedusha, it's kodosh with the Kedushas Naziris. It's zokt of them, the Mechareva, that if you learn like the Ma'aretz Hezber, you become transformed, you become kodosh with the Kedushas Naziris, and then you could tie into a svora to say that Kedusha, once it's chal, it's not going to be poke, it won't vanish by itself. So Tainach, if within the original Kabbalah, Yataka spoke out, the person could accept the Kabbalah's Naziris for Shloishim Yoim, Kabbalah's Naziris for a limited amount of time. So if you built into the original Chaloif Kedusha, that it's only limited, and that Kedusha itself will only last for a certain amount of time, and that's it. So okay, so the Ikra Kedusha was chal in such a way that it won't be beyond the expiration date, and that's how a person makes the Kabbalah's Naziris for a limited amount of time. Mashink, over here with the father that was Mekabel Naziris for his kid, not for a limited amount of time, or past the age of Godless. So therefore the Kedusha in and of itself is a Kedusha that has a power, it's a transformative process, it transformed the kid into a Kodosh, the Kedusha's Naziris, and once that Kedusha is Chal, it doesn't just vanish by itself. So the kid now exceeds the point of Godless, and he's Bar Mitzvah now, so what? The kid is transformed, and once he's transformed, his Shem is different, his Kedusha is different, like he would turn into a Koyan or something. You know, he turned into a Kodosh, the Kedusha's Naziris. That's not going to vanish by itself. It doesn't just disappear and vanish into nothing. It's because the kid became a mitzvah. So that's why Rashi held and the Bar Tanura held that when the father is noydeh b'noy ben nazir, it has a power and will go beyond the point at which the father would lose its authority when the kid gets a mitzvah, because the father transforms the kid, and that transformative process is a transformation. The kid is kodesh now, and kedusha, once it's chal, it won't be poka even after the kid becomes a godel. So that's his suggestion about what the underlying machloikis Rashi Tosis is. The Mechareva adds that be'emes you find at the end of Masechta Nazir and the Samach Vav, there's a din over there, there's a sug over there, as mevur that Chana at the end of the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, so Chana was neither her son Shmuel ben Naziris. The Pesukim speak about it over there, that she said that if she'll have a boy, so she'll give it over to Hashem, Umoira lo yale al roishoy, which the Gemara brings a pilpul over there, that some hold over there in the Gemara, that what that means is that there won't be any razor on the hair on the head, and she won't, in other words, that she's saying that she'll makadish the son of Kedushas Naziris. So Chana was menad the son of Kedushas Naziris. It's of them zok there that the Pharisees Yisrael and Mishnayos as a bomb kasha that Chana, it says the pasuk said l'chayr that Chana was noyed the Shmuel Kedushas Naziris. So frekti the Pharisees Yisrael, that's against our Mishnah here in Soitach of Gimel. The Mishnah says that Av is madir as benoy ben Nazir and the Isha is not madir as benoy ben Nazir. So here we find the Chana. Sukkim say the Pharisees, the pasuk said Chana was noyed as benoy ben Nazir, that she made Shmuel into a Nazir, and Nazir Shmuel was a Nazir Oilam, like the Mefarshim they point out at the end of Nazir. So l'chayr it's a pella, how did Chana do this? So the Tiferes Yisrael says that the answer is you have to say zok there that Chana said this in front of Elkanah, who was her husband, and she chepit Elkanah to be maskim, and finally it's from Soif Elkanah was maskim, and it was actually his haskama that generated the shem of Nazir on the son on Shmuel. It wasn't Chana who did it, but the haskama, the assent that Elkanah was maskim to that. That's the basic Tiferes Yisrael's teres. As on this, the Mechareva points out that the Tiferes Yisrael didn't see that his kasha is asked before by the Radak in the first parak of Shmuel. Mamash Afanor, the Radak, one of the Gedolei Rishonim on the page over there, in this parish on Shmuel, asked this kasha. And interestingly, the Radak actually bavorns that the Pharisee is all teretz, and he doesn't like it at all. The Radak says, it's Mamash Shver, he buys Shver, the Radak. He says, it's very, very Shver. How could the Chana be Noidir as Benob and Nozir against the mission over here? And he says that to say that really it was Elkanah's Haskama that did it is a pala. He says, because first of all, the Gemara never says this anywhere, nor does it say in the Midrashim that the Poshup Shad is not Poshut, and it doesn't mean Kipshutai that it was Chanas, the Kabbalah, but rather it was Okanah. It doesn't say that anywhere in Chazal. And the Pasuk itself should have spoken that, he says. It's Ikur Chosav and Asefer. The Pasuk is clearly Mash, but the Chanas acceptance, Chanas veil, that's what was Noyder Shmuel ben Aziris. And the Maisa, Chanah doesn't have the ability. And even more than that, Shmuel was Mamash Adav Shalab Eliyolim at the time, because he wasn't even born Bechlal at that time. Chanah was being Noyder, she'll have a kid, and etc. So he says the whole thing is very shver, and Grad of the Redak blighted by Akash on this. That the Mecha Reva points out that Echshayir, whatever you're going to say on this, Zokter, this much is clear, that both the Tiferes Yisrael and the Radak, and whatever it is exactly, it seems to be clear that Shmuel became a Nazir Oilam as a result of his Kabbalah, and that's the passage of the Sugi in Nazir, and the Achrinah speak it out, that Shmuel was a Nazir Oilam, and L'chay, that was based upon the Kabbalah, that the mother, or according to Tiferes Yisrael, maybe the father, but they're Makabal upon him. It's like the Mecha Reva that itself is a Raya to Rashi and the Bar Tanura against Tosis, because L'chayra, and what was he, another Oilam? I mean, maybe till the mitzvah, but once the mitzvah comes, it should expire, because the parents have no authority, according to Tosis. So Bechlal, it's mashma that there were a number of Gedoilam that exempted like Rashi, and that's how they understood the Pashtas of the Sugi Beishmuel, whether it was Chana, whether it was Alkana that made the Neder, Talkapana, they had the ability to make the kid, make Shmuel in this case, another Oilam, even beyond the point of a mitzvah when he'll leave their Rishus. At the end of the Amud, the Gemara brings down a big tumult, a big machloikis, that what you do when a kohen brings a minchas choite bedalidalos, which is to say that there's certain types of aveirois that generate a din to bring a korban oil of a yoyed. If the person is very poor, bedalidalos, the poorest of the poor, his din is that he brings in a mincha. So, what if the bringer, the person that did the chet, is a kohen? What's the din of his mincha? Is it completely kolot toktor? Is it completely offered completely on the fire? Yes, no. There's a bunch of different days over here in the Gemara. What you do if the bringer is a kohen? Tanakamo hold grad that you do in fact offer the entirety of the mincha on the fire. It's kolot just like any minchas kohen. However, the other sheet is her shimon that's discussed by Rashi at length and by Tosis, and also the laws of her shimon that they don't disagree with this. They don't agree with this. And in fact, like Rashi explains at some length, it depends upon the very sosnik apostik in terms of understanding that the Pasuk says over there, V'hois ha'la'koyhen ka'mincha, and according to the Shita Rosh Shimon, the Lazar Rosh Shimon, the V'hois ha'la'koyhen ka'mincha only goes on the koymetz and doesn't go on the entirety of the mincha. So therefore, they hold that the din haktorah, the ikra din haktorah, the korev of the carbon is really only the koymetz, and you offer the koymetz on the fire and that's it. The shirayim don't have the din to be makti them, to be the matir of the mincha, to be the ikra haktorah of the mincha. So what taka do you do with the shirayim? So this is where we have a tumult, to go backwards a bit, those of Shimon holds that the Shirayim are not able to be offered on the fire because of the fact that he holds a Kohen Kamincha only goes in the Kohenetz. On the other hand, it is a Minchas Kohen, and therefore you don't eat the Shirayim. You stop coming and going, you don't eat it, and you don't offer on the fire. So he holds, you take the Shirayim and you scatter them, you mefazer them on the base of Desh, and you scatter them by the place of the ashes. That's the laws of Shimon. Rav Shimon, the Shimon's father, say he holds that you take those Shirayim and in fact you do a Haktorah separately, you offer them separately on the fire. So you mark there the Shirayim if they atzman and the Koyimitz if they atzman independently of the Shirayim and the Koyimitz. Why does Rav Shimon hold this way? You can mark the Shirayim if they atzman. So Rashi says that that's because Rav Shimon argues in the din of Kol Shemen Le'ishim Harehu Baval Taktiru, which is a special drasha that usually tells us, the Gemara discusses it in different places in Shas, it's a drasha that tells us normally if I have a chaylok of a korban that din is to be kotur, to be offered on the fire, so the rest of it, once the Shemen Le'ishim, part of it goes in the fire, the rest of it is Baval Taktiru, you can't offer the rest. However, Rashi suggests that Rosh Shimon has a big chiddush, he argues in this big klal and shas, and therefore he holds that even though the ikad din haktora goes on the koymetz, and that's the matir of the mincha, that's what makes it into the mincha that gives it a kapara, the alpha pikein, the shirayim, since they can't be eaten, they're not a chelak of the ikra haktora, of the ikra matir of the mincha, but despite that, you take the shirayim and offer them separately on the fire. That's how Rashi explains. Tosis, along similar lines, in the bottom Tosis, brings a Yushalmi that clears a couple of shilas, what is going to be the detail of the dinim of this haktoras hashirayim according to Rav Shimon. Does it have similar dinim to the koymetz or not? And the shirayim gives different examples, a couple of examples the Yushalmi gives. Are you able to be offered the shirayim on the fire at night? Do we say it's doimet to the koymetz that it can only be offered by yoyim? The haktoras hakoymetz is only by day, not by night. Maybe the shirayim is similar. Similar, another question, what about the bailam dies? The bailam dies, so you're not able to offer the koymetz because that's mesa by leo, and you can't offer the koymetz. What if the Bailam died after the Koymetz was offered, for example, are you able to offer the Shirayim? Do we say it's limited to the Koymetz, and you can't offer the Shirayim? So Yerushalmi is masik, the Matkonas Yerushalmi is, that in fact, the Haktoras HaShiraim is not limited to Haktoras HaKoimitz, and consequently, you could offer the Shiraim at night, and also you could offer the Shiraim even if the Bailam has already died, because Haktoras HaShiraim, even though it is, you're being marked to the Shiraim, but despite that, they don't have the din in like the Haktoras HaKoimitz. In other words, both from Rashi, and well as from the Toises based on the Yerushalmi, it emerges that the Shiraim don't have the same din Haktorah as the Koimitz does. The Iker din Haktorah is on the Koimitz, and that has that's the matter of the Korban, and it has to be dafka by day, and it has to be dafka by when it was alive, and etc. Now, Shein came the Shiraim, they have an independent din Haktorah, which is really just based on the fact that, like Rashi spells out, that there's nothing else to do with them, and Rabbi Shimon happens to hold that he could offer on the fire, because he doesn't hold of Kol Shemenu Le'ishim, the Baal Taktiru. So they have an ancillary Tofel type din of Haktorah, and it doesn't matter, therefore, if it's at night, and it doesn't matter if it is after the Mitzvah Bailam. In the Shidduch of Betzes in Bob Metzia, I'm sorry, in Menachis, on Dafayin Dalid, he says something beyond all that, a rather startling Chiddush, that Shidduch Betzes says that according to Hashem, when you marked here the Shirayim, you don't mark it on the main Marocha, which is where you offer up the Kabonis, the main fire, rather you're offered on the you marked it on top of the Tapuach. The Tapuach is the big pile of ashes in the center of the Mizbeach, where you normally not marked it anything, that pile of the ashes there. But he says over here, you're going to take the Shirayim and offer them according to Hashem, and you marked them on the Tapuach. He holds, the Shita holds that that's actually Meduyik in the Loshin of Rav Shimon, that you marked the Koimit Bifnei Atzmoi and the Shirayim Bifnei Atzmoi, which what does it mean Bifnei Atzmoi? So he understands that to mean in a separate location, the Shita. The Meila, the Koimit is on, obviously on the main Marocha, we offer the Kabonis, and the Shirayim is independently offered Bifnei Atzmoi on the Tapuach, which is a remarkable din and really quite unique. And the end of the Shtickle, the Shita says that L'choyer, the Tapuach, doesn't have an Ash, so it's just the Ash. So I mean, how are you going to offer and you mark the things on it? So he says it has Afer Cham. It has very hot ashes over there. The ashes are extremely hot, and therefore, consequently, ashes are so hot, so that has a din of being marked around the age. Ground on this point, the Biskirov says in the Chudushim over there, the Biskirov Tain is that that's actually seems to be very much Tzorachian out there, because L'chayra, Afer Cham does not have a din of an Eish Mamish, and he brings an example from a Sechta Psochem where the Gemara talks about how you tzoiled the carbon Pesach. The Pesach says, Shli Eish, you have to be tzoiled in fire. And over there, the din is that you're not allowed to use things like hot ash and etc. to be tzoiled, which is really like chamehor, you know, they got hot through the fire, but they're not the fire itself, and you're not allowed to use it to be tzoiled the carbon Pesach, because the Pesach says that you have to have tzli'esh, mamash tzli'esh. Likewise, over here, the Bisker of Tain is that you can't use things that happen to be very hot to be marked here, any kind of carbonus, and do a Maisak Torah. It's just not acceptable Maisak Torah, because the Torah has to be on the esh, and l'chayra, how do you use Efer Cham? So he says you have to say that the Shita didn't mean to say that the ashes was hot, but he meant to say that you have mamash hot gecholim over there, you know, if you have red hot coals, which mamash have a din of a fire, and they're amongst the ashes, and constantly, therefore, you offer the Haktorah on the red hot coals in the Tapuach, in the Efer Cham, and therefore, that has a din of a Haktorah. But the Bitzgerov fears Zoyf, and he says the following. He says that Be'emes, it's a very strange thing to understand. This is a two different Dini Haktorah, according to Rav Shimon. The main Haktorah is on the Koimetz, and that's, according to the Shita, that's on the main Ma'arocha. Mashenke and the Shirayim does not have a din to be offered on the Ma'arocha, even though it does have a din, you mark it, but it doesn't have the main din of Haktorah, it's not the matter of the Korban, and therefore, consequently, you're just going to offer it on the on the Tapuach. It's a very strange thing where you don't really have any kind of din Haktorah. You don't allow you any time. You know, it's not allowed Zokta usually to overdo Haktorah on the Tapuach. So how did that happen over here, that over here it's Mutter? So the Bitzgerov says, very briefly, he says a very concise word. What he says is that Be'emes is Zokta, that as long as the Tapuach Taka has red hot coals, and it's on top of the Mizbeach, and it's a Mokum that you could be Makdir on, so Be'emes, the din Haktorah could be Yotze on the Tapuach as well. You could fulfill Haktorah on the top of the Mizbeach without burning hot coals. You could do that. Elamai Zokta, he says in the Torah's Kain, and we find there's a Mesuyim to give Mitzvah, that even though Be'etzem you could do Haktorah in any way on top of the Mizbeach, but there's a mitzvah to do the Haktorah in the Marocha Gedoyla, which is where you had the Haktorah Sakabonis. So there's a special mitzvah. The Haktorah could be fulfilled. You could do a Maisa Haktorah elsewhere. You could do a Maisa Haktorah on the Tapuach and the burning hot coals. But there's a mitzvah to do the Haktorah Zokter as Mezunderim, special mitzvah to do the Haktorah of a carbon on top of the Marocha Gedoyla. Meilu Zokter, what we're saying over here, that's what he wants to say. Over here, the Haktorah Sakorban, that's the Koimitz. That's the definitive, the defining act of being Makdir for this carbon is Haktorah Sakorban. And Meilu, therefore, that's what has the mitzvah Saktorah, which is going to be a Protei mitzvah will be, like the Torah's Kainim learns out, to do it specifically on top of the Maroch HaGadoyla. The granted, it's true that you have to be master the rest of it as well. That's because, so to speak, that's on the rebound. You didn't have anything else to do with it, and you can't eat it because it comes from a kain and etc. So Meila, you end up that there's no other choice but to makter. And if Shimon goes, like Rashi says, that there's no isra baal taktiru, even though you did haktar on this carbon, you're allowed to offer on the fire. Since that's just on the rebound, so to speak, it's not the haktar, it's a carbon, the defining act of makter the carbon. That's why it comes out. That's why the Shita is saying it doesn't have the special masuyim, the mitzvah to do the baktor in a special way with the special protum of the Maroch HaGadoyla. And that's why we're telling you that you just do it on the tapuach. It could be done in, so to speak, in any way that gets the basic shem haktoras mizbech that will fulfill it, to fill the din of haktoras shirayim, which in this case you could do with the tapuach. It doesn't have the special mitzvah of haktoras hakarbonos, which that's fulfilled in a special way with a protei mitzvah to do it dafka on the Maroch HaGadoyla.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.